Okay, this is Pacifica National Board meeting resuming at 6:03 Central, 7:03 Eastern, and 4:03 Pacific. And we are in open session, and we're going to see if we can tackle a budget or two. In a moment, I'd like to hand the floor over to Tracy Rosenberg, the treasurer and chair of the National Finance Committee for the Pacifica Foundation. Thank you. Go ahead, Ms. Rosenberg.
All right. Thank you, Summer. So going from the board book, the committee did submit a sort of a report. I think I'll just take a second to summarize it, since I would assume that people on the stream want to hear it. And then we will turn to the first unpassed budget, which in the book happens to be WPFW, so I think that is the one that we'll take up first. All right, so the 2014 National Finance Committee consists of the following members. From the PNB, Tony Norman from WPFW, Commander Jay Saba from WBAI, Richard Uzel from KPFT, John Crumshow from KPFK, and myself from KPFA, and the five LSB treasurers, Marcus Jetter from WPFW, R. Paul Martin from WBAI, Jim Boyd from KPFT, Michael Novick from KPFK, Barbara Whipperman from KPFA, and from Pacifica, Raul Salvador. And I want to thank them all. I already said that. Richard, did I leave you out? I'm being told that I left you out. That's what I thought. All right. Yeah. Stop kibitzing. And I want to thank them all for their tremendously hard work. So the 2014 Finance Committee met for the first time on March 12, 2013. Until the budget process got underway, some of the subjects we discussed and worked on included a lockbox installation at KPFK in Los Angeles, happily completed in May of 2013. The cash financial statements requirements for the Archives Grant Award from the National Archives, the possibility of direct payments from the stations to the Archives, and we referred a motion regarding from the vault carriage to the PNB Programming Committee, from which I don't think it has ever emerged. We talked about CPB penalties. We did first quarter budget to actual reviews. We talked a lot about WBAI cash flow. We did an event management checklist. We talked about whether the NFC could or should jumpstart some crowdfunding efforts at some of the stations, which we haven't done. I'm still hoping that we will. And we talked about fund drive syndication and timing and simulcasts. The budget process began on July 23rd with the approval of KPFT's budget. KPFA and KPFK received two-week extensions in August, and WPFW and WBAI received 30-day extensions at the beginning of August. KPFK budget was passed on August 28th, KPFA on September 10th, WBAI on September 24th, and WPFW on September 27th, and the National Office and Archive budgets were passed on October 9th. The Pacifica National Board has passed to date the KPFT divisional budget and the KPFK divisional budget. The remaining five are up for passage at the current meeting. Okay. The WPFW budget begins in this book after the two past divisions, which are KPFT and KPFK, in order. The history of this budget is that it was largely prepared by the previous WPFW manager, John Hughes. It was eventually approved by the WPFW LSB. It then came to the Finance Committee. There was a management change at WPFW. And so we went through a process with the new interim general manager, Michelle Price, where she reviewed the LSB-approved budget and made a couple of recommendations for changes based on things that she was hoping to implement and execute. They were fairly minor. I think Tony would agree. And the NFC largely accepted what she sent to us. So what we are looking at is total revenue in FY 2014 being projected at $1,683,000, with $1,259,000 coming in from listener support. We are looking at total expenses prior to shared services of $1,383,000. That includes $687,000 in personnel, $290,000 administrative, $188,000 in programming, $198,000 in development expenses. We are looking at a shared services contribution of $245,000 and a net hopefully projected income of $53,672. What's important to say about this budget is that it is connected to the new interim manager's determination to get and pursue some level of grant funding that WPFW hasn't had to date. And we had a long talk at the NFC about how quickly grants come through and what you can expect. But we wanted to be encouraging of the attempt to bring that kind of revenue into WPFW since it sorely needs it. And the large projected surplus at the end of the year is largely connected to leaving enough space just in case those grant revenue projections don't pan out quite as quickly as she was hoping. We are, however, hoping that it will. So I think that's pretty much it. Tony is the ranking member from PNB. PNB, if there's anything that you want to add, feel free. And then I guess we'll go to Q&A.
Sure, thank you. As you stated, this is a budget that was primarily approved by the LSB of WPFW, prepared by the original general manager, John Hughes, and then Michelle, the interim. General managers make some adjustments, which wasn't that much. For the most part, it's a very conservative budget in terms of our projected income. And also, it brings our staff back to full pay, which is something very important that we've been trying to do. So it adds provision to bringing our staff to full pay. So for the most part, I thought we went to a very good deliberative process, and hopefully it'll be approved.
Thank you. Hold on. I see hands. I had Dan, and then Benito, and then Brian. And Nancy, did you want to be on stack? Okay. Go ahead, Dan.
So, Tony or Tracy, could you compare this budget to the previous year in terms of just numbers, but also impact on staff or other expenses?
Yeah, I can, if that's okay. You will see a little bit of information in your book about the forecasted 2013 numbers. If you look at them, you will see that there is a significant increase in listener support anticipated. WPFW has been through a two-year, shall we say, tsunami of turmoil that had a significant impact on the amount of revenue that they were able to raise. And you see that in the FY 2013 numbers. I think all perspectives on that agree and hope that we are largely past that. And the fund drive results from the first fund drive this year seem to confirm that we're on a slightly healthier footing and that the projections in this budget would probably run mostly to form, at least so far. We're not seeing it. The first fund drive told us we were completely wrong with everything that we anticipated. In terms of the expense side of the budget, it's actually pretty parallel to 2013. And with WPFW, we didn't find a station that had a significant amount of puffy or elaborate expenses. We just found a station that was having problems raising the revenue to support the expenses. So the expense levels are consistent with the exception of the return of the paid staff to 100% time, which is something that was promised to the union. It was supposed to be temporary, and it really was a serious obligation that I think everyone felt had to be number one priority in the budget. Is that fair?
And if I can just briefly respond, I don't think there's much major change, actually, from last year's budget. Even in spite, I know Tracy called it a tsunami, but it was basically a civil war. But everything is pretty much together now, I think. We've buried the bodies and cleaned up the blood, and things are getting back together. So I think it's stabilizing. I think with our new interim general manager, things are stabilizing. But in terms of our last pledge drive, that's about average. We average about $400,000 per pledge drive. Actually, the last three drives, we've raised the $400,000. And surprisingly, in spite of the tsunami and the Civil War, it really, our numbers were about the same before it was. So I think it in terms of your question, there isn't much change. There isn't much different from last year's. But
I'm going to go to the next person, but if I might just add, Dan, we're also addressing their low power issues, so we can anticipate that things will be better in the coming year from a technical perspective as well, which will help to support the budget. Benito's next, and then Brian, and then Nancy.
Okay, well, I...
And then Lisa.
Yeah, well, I'm from PFW, too, and I have a completely different view of this budget. And specifically, number one, you can say that the budget was approved simply because the LSB did take a vote, and they did vote to approve the budget. But there are votes, and there are votes. And some votes are democratic because they represent a full discussion, and some votes are not democratic because they lack that discussion. And I would say that this vote was rushed through, the discussion was rushed through. The questions that I and other people asked of the GM went completely unanswered, as usual, you know, and so that's number one. Number two, subsequent to the quote-unquote approval of this budget, I submitted a list of questions to the National Finance Committee, which were never responded to. Well, I have not seen any response, you know, and so my questions remain on the table. I asked the new IGM to respond to those questions at the following LSB meeting, and she run me some story about how she ain't seen my comments when I know that she was at that meeting, you know. So to me, this whole thing is illegit, just like every other budget. Furthermore, I would like, okay, I'm almost finished. I would like to understand how it is that this budget could be, if on the one hand we're going to say that it is basically the same as the one the year before, then how the HELL could we afford to bring the staff back, the union staff, back to 100% pay if the income and expenses are more or less the same. And furthermore, my last point is that if, you know, Mr. Norman can describe anything he wants any way he wants, but and Tracy as well, but let me just tell y'all that ain't no civil war
time,
over
time.
And ain't no tsunami over at PFW. Let me tell you that right now.
Thank you, Benito.
Okay, all right, so I have to answer
those
in order.
1 second, there's a point of order.
Oh,
thank you.
Please maintain to the timekeeper's time. Other folks want to speak, so I want to be respectful of people's time.
Okay.
Thank you, Brenda. Point
so
well taken.
And I stand corrected. Please.
So I'm going to try to answer
your
four questions as best I can, Benito. Some of them I can. Some of them you may not be happy with my answers, but I'll do the best
I
can.
I'm sure I won't.
Okay. Okay, so the first question was regarding the LSB vote on the WPFW LSB, and that's the part where I say I'm not on the WPFW LSB, wasn't there, don't know. I will say that the Finance Committee extended the length of time for the WPFW LSB to act on the budget by a month, and we were very clear we're not going to extend it beyond that month. That was it. So if the LSB met fairly close to the end of that extension period, that could be a reason why it was felt rushed. And maybe the LSB should have met a little earlier, and maybe everybody should have gotten everything together a bit earlier. This is all true. But there is a time constraint at the end of the process. So I'm not surprised that it may have gone down that way, and I'm sorry
but
that it
did. That's not what I was referring to.
Okay, I'm just trying to respond as best I can. On the second, I swear to you, and thank God sometimes that these meetings are streamed, your questions came in, they were distributed to the whole Finance Committee. We read them out loud on the stream during the discussion of the PFW budget, and they were answered on the stream. They were not answered in writing, you're correct. But I know that we went through that process. If I can dig up the stream... you know, I can't speak to whether the spoken answers, and there were answers from the IGM, worked for you or not, but we did go through that. I don't want you to feel like they were ignored. They were not. Third question. We shouldn't have said so quickly that things are about the same. Things are not about the same. We're anticipating about $100,000 more in listener revenue, probably about $25,000 more per fund drive, and that's how the staff are going from 75% to 100%. Now, that may or may not pan out. Our hope is that it is because we've committed to do it, but that's where it's coming from. It's not coming from the air. So far, I think the first fund drive hit that target. You know, you got to see if the second one does, third one does, and the fourth one does, and we might be in some trouble if it doesn't. And then the last thing is, I'm sorry if I use the word tsunami inappropriately. I'm hoping that whatever it is, it is over because it's been hard on the station. But I accept your characterization that that wasn't the right word to use, and I'm sorry that I used it.
No, I ain't got no problem with that word.
Okay. I felt a little like civil war might not be the right word either, but I apologize.
I can just quickly respond that Patricia is correct. The Finance Committee did address his specific questions. If I'm not mistaken, the LSB voted. If it wasn't unanimous, it was at least two-thirds for the vote.
Thank you.
And also quickly, I forgot to, when I said the Civil War was over in Pacifica, I'm learning Civil Wars are never over. They always go on.
Thank you. Let us hope there's an abatement and an outbreak of success and collegiality. Brian.
So I guess my concern is the budget anticipates total revenues going up $300,000, which is 20%, 22%. It's a lot. It's based on income in categories where there was no income this year. Website income, major donor income, car donations, grants, they're all areas where there's no income this year. And they add up to close to $150,000. So I guess my question is, what's the plan if that doesn't materialize? Are people getting raises and going back to 100% now, and we hope the money comes through to pay them later, or does the spending follow triggers on the revenue side? And the second question is specifically, let me finish.
Yeah, I'm just trying to remember the questions.
Let me finish?
Yeah.
Okay, so that means being quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The second question is specifically on the grant money. My experience with grants is that when you get a grant, almost always you are agreeing to do something that will cost you money. You're agreeing to spend that grant on something, so it's a wash for your budget. So the question is, are there expenses that correspond to the expected grant revenues that are already built into this budget, or is it just money from heaven right now?
Yeah. Okay. So I already mentioned on the grant money that it is in fact speculative. The interim GM felt that it was very important.
I didn't ask if it was speculative. I asked if there's expenses.
If you want the answer, you have to be quiet and listen to it. I mean, come on. The speculative, I already mentioned that the grant income is speculative. The reason why there's a $53,000 surplus in the budget is that the grant funds are essentially, because they're speculative, not being expensed. If they're not there, corresponding expenses will not occur. In terms of the listener revenue figure on the whole, it's an increase from where WPFW has been in 2013 and in 2012. Because of a civil war, tsunami. We're going to have to come up with some word for what we're referring to that we all like, but because of some turmoil. It is, however, extremely consistent with where WPFW was in 2011 and 2010 and 2009, where revenue in general was between about 1.65 and 1.7 million per year audited. So historically, it corresponds to kind of where they are when there's not trouble in River City. And I think that historical basis is what made us a little more comfortable. They also are aware that if they can't hold to the totals that we're trying to do, that there will be some cuts on the administrative and development expenses, and we were assured that there were some plans to implement those if necessary.
And if I just might add, it also entails cutting two staff positions.
Yeah.
To
That's right.
It entails cutting two staff positions to make up.
So the rest can go toward that. That's true.
To meet the go up to full pay.
Okay.
So pretty responsible.
Okay, thank you. Nancy Henschel is next, and then Luzette King, and then Brenda Medina.
You know,
only if there's second rounds. Hold on, please.
I'm going to make mine brief because Dan really asked my question, and I want to follow it up with something revealing about myself. I really think that optimism should be reserved for puppies and children, and when you're dealing with math, you got to prepare for the worst. Prepare for the worst and be as conservative as absolutely possible. And, you know, I hope this works, but let's not live on hope.
Thank you, Nancy. Lizette.
Thank you, Chair. You know, I'm trying my best to be as civilized as I possibly can on this matter. But this PFW budget speaks to something that somebody from the audience raised, and it's called transparency. The reason why the committee, and thanks to you, Chair of the committee, the Finance Committee, for giving us 30 days. Now, this general manager, the previous one, came to us, and some of the questions you're raising, we had no clue. We couldn't, and this goes for everybody in the network, we are supposed to know everybody's salary. Nobody in this network should be collecting money from our listeners and they don't know how much they're paying every worker. This GM refused to tell us how much he was earning, and at the same time, talk about us being in a non-union organization. It flies in the face when at PFW, the unionized workers were the ones whose work hours were cut for 2 years. I mean, for God's sake. And we're talking about, what do people in them call again? The people, the store people that we were, Walmart. We criticizing Walmart, and we're doing a better job at it.
Check it.
You understand? Now, oh my God, just give me a few minutes. It's been a tsunami. But I hope I get some more time later.
Thank you, Lizette. Brenda.
Sorry, folks. I don't mean to be rude, but I want to be mindful.
It's okay.
So I have a couple of questions in regards to the PFW budget. So I'm looking at the forecast of 2013, and based on the P&L sheet that we received a couple months back, the forecast of this past year's budget doesn't even reflect the actuals, and we increased the forecast listener support that we were going to receive for this upcoming year. So I want to see how that's substantiated. For the corporate match, how is it that we're seeing more people have corporate matches at PFW because it's increased by $3,100? The car donations, is this a new program? What's the type of outreach is this? And then those are the questions that I have. Thanks.
There's not a whole lot that I can do with that except to say that WPFW's income, dropped off the side of a cliff around the middle of 2012, and they started doing a good $250,000 less than they had done in several of the previous years. And that had something to do with the state of the transmitter, and it had a lot to do with the state of the community as a whole. That has started to rebound. We have a new interim GM. We could have said you have to show us improved numbers before we will consent to anything at all. But we felt that it was better to work with a plan and see if it was able to materialize than it was to basically create a situation where the station was barely functional. Again, WPFW is not a station with an extensive amount of staff. It's a very small staff. It's not a station that spends an extensive amount on rent. It's not a station that spends an extensive amount of development. They are cut very close to the bone. And further cuts would have been enormously destructive. It would have left very little there. They are not much bigger, frankly, than KPFT.
If I can.
So what I'm going to say here is that they have performed to that level frequently in the past. There seemed to be no reason they could not return to performing at that level. We thought the new interim GM was smart and had some good ideas and a lot of energy. And it didn't seem reasonable. And based on the first fund drive, it wasn't reasonable to assume continued failure at the station. Next year, if the dollars don't turn out, then you're going to have to take a look at that. But I'm hoping that's not the case. I think we all are.
I can just quickly say that
what book gives him the right to go ahead of everybody else?
Because he's on the National Finance Committee.
And I'm just responding to Brenda. In the committee, I had reservations about the corporate, the things that you raised, and also what Brian raised about the grants. But most of those speak to the new amendments that the new interim executive director. And the way she explained it, I agreed with it. We want to give her the benefit of the doubt. She feels she can do it. And I think that it's not an overly aggressive request. So those were really her changes. And I think she should be given an opportunity. If she feels she can meet those goals, that we should. That's why they're there.
Thank you, Tony. Teresa Allen, you're next, please.
If I understand correctly, their power is such that they're not. What's the terminology?
They're not broadcasting at full power
They're
all
not
right
broadcasting
now.
At full power. And I'm assuming that's going to be fixed.
Have an engineer going on site this week to determine the problems in the transmission line.
I'm assuming that will make a big difference. They had members of their board and active volunteers and programmers actively telling people not to give money until something happened. That's happened. I'm glad it's never, I mean, it hasn't happened seriously at our station, but I would think that, you know, for those people that said, okay, I'm not going to give now because you're telling me I shouldn't trust whoever, I think once that flips, obviously there should be a change. And I'd like to say that I know that the Center for Car Donations in Albuquerque, New Mexico, made $125,000 in car donations last year. If they follow the plan that I gave them for making an announcement about car donations, they should make a lot more than $13,000 in that metropolitan area.
Point of information,
thank you.
Chair.
Yes, Lizette.
Would the last speaker tell the community which members of the board that she knows been telling people not to contribute?
When I was in New York City, there were people.
Which
that I
members?
Names.
I'm
folks.
Not. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have to say.
You need to withdraw it because I'm a member.
I'm not going to.
Folks.
You know, this is nothing personal.
Whether it's personal or not, what you're implying is that
folks,
are trying to undermine the station.
There were some.
So okay. Who are they?
Okay. I don't think this is necessarily productive.
I think you blew past that. And I have a point of order.
I will take the point of order because it takes precedence under Roberts. Go for it.
It's 6:30. My motion had proposed to have this open session until 6:30. Somebody would have to move to continue the open
15
session.
15 minutes.
I'm going to actually put a substitute on the floor and suggest that because we do have this executive session scheduled, that if we're out of time for this budget, perhaps we should go to a vote on this budget and then move to executive session.
Well, actually, when time runs out, you automatically
that's
go to a vote unless it is extended. So there's a motion for 15 minutes from Brian. Is there a second to that motion?
I second the motion.
Okay, a second from Diaz. We will quickly vote on that. If the motion passes, we will continue debate for another 15 minutes. If it does not, we will move immediately to a vote. Did you have a point of information or something? No. Okay.
No,
all right. Mr. Secretary, are you ready for the vote? Okay. So is there any objection to continuing 15 minutes? Yes, Nancy.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. You object?
Let's go to vote.
Okay. All right. We'll do that then. All those in favor of extending for an additional 15 minutes for discussion on the WPFW budget, please raise your hands. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. All those opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4. Those abstaining? 2. 11-4-2 is the vote count. We will continue for another 15 minutes, please. Brian?
I have a motion, if that's appropriate.
I'll acknowledge you in a moment. There's someone ahead of you on stack. Thank you. And I haven't gone to second rounds because we haven't finished with firsts. Jessica Apollinar.
want to address something that we just mentioned. I want to also say thank you to the Finance Committee and PFW for having borne all the crisis, I guess you'd say, and the board members. I was there in New York, and I was on the PMB a year before last when this all started out. So I'm really glad to see that it picked up since then and it has improved, even if it's not to the point we want it. What Teresa and I both, I can't speak for her, but I can speak for me. I heard people who came to open session. I didn't hear anybody on the board because we didn't have the whole board there. But I heard people who came, and I did go to the station the year before last, and there were several people who were telling me, I'm going to make it a point. And, you know, you can't tell people what to say to the public, but sometimes those comments do carry weight, and they do change the way people want to give. So I know I witnessed the same thing that Teresa did, and it was, we have that everywhere at all stations, so it's not that outrageous, but it did happen in my presence. Someone did say that from PFW. I just don't know names. It's been 2 years since then, so I'm sorry. But that's all I wanted to say. Thank you.
Summer, could I just make a point of procedure?
Of course.
The Finance Committee's motion that the PNB should approve this budget as recommended is on the floor. Yes. So if we entertain additional motions, they are substitutes or amendments.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Okay, so everyone who's asked to speak again are all second round, so I'm going to take them in the order in which people raised their hands, which is Benito, Luzette, Brian, Tony. Benito, you have the floor. Please try to stay within your time limits if you can. Thank you. Grab the mic, man. There's the stream. Think of the adoring public that is listening to our proceedings.
I'm going to do my best to stay within the time. I'm going to look at Margie. but I think the basic question, which was one of the questions I raised in my set of questions to the Finance Committee, and which several folks have restated again, right now, is where's the plan? Mr. Norman tells us that there's a plan and or that he's going to give the new IGM the benefit of doubt that she got a plan and going to make it happen. Well, I'm with Nancy. You know, I don't like to act based on hope and faith and smoke. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to see a plan. And I don't know of anybody other than the Katia, who is a PMB member from PFW, and who ain't here right now, and Lucette, and who is also the shop steward, and Lucette, and myself, who have worked harder and advocated more for the return of the union staff to full pay. But
time.
The question
is, here's the question, but you're at
so
time.
The question is, where are you going to get the money from?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see where I don't see what the plan is.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Let me answer the question as best I can. The first fund drive of the year made, I think, $425,000. Is that about right, Tony? And that was after a number of fund drives that made in the low threes. So we've had a significant 25 to 30% improvement as of late in the fund drive. So that's where you're going to get the money. And you have to keep it up. And I don't know if you can keep it up. And if it goes south, it's going to go south fast. And that's going to cause painful things to happen. But you hope that that's not the case. And I'm saying that so far the evidence is leaning towards you have the money and it's going to work.
Thank you. And just to clarify what I mean by low power, there's low power in Houston and there's low power in D.C. We're at 11% power in Washington, D.C.
Right.
So if we fix what all of the problems that have been going on there for some period of time, you will have significantly improved market penetration and you can presume that that will also support better fund drive results. Okay?
And 11% out of 100%?
Yes. Correct.
Yes.
They're barely reaching their market and they still managed to make over $400,000 in this fund drive, which indicates how successful it was under the circumstances. So, I mean, it can only go up from here in terms of those types of improvements. So
point of information?
Yes.
Point of information?
Yes, Nancy.
When will we get a report on that? I'd love to know right away. I'd love to know right away when
it's fixed.
Yeah.
Yes, I can
notify
you.
What's wrong with it? I just
certainly we have an engineer specifically checking out what the transmission line is where the issue is at. Thank you, Lizette.
Not only
are we at 11%? We found out about two or three months ago, if that long, that we were on a month-to-month rent with our antenna, and nobody, none of us knew about this. Yeah. But I want you to help me here, Chair. I want to move a motion here, and this should affect all the budgets. There is no reason why we cannot have a breakdown of the personnel costs in every station. And I'd like that to happen as a policy. The other thing is, I know that we have centralized the banking. Mm. I understand that monies can be taken out of our accounts and we don't have to know about it, local station boards. And if that is the case, what can we do? What can you as chair advise us can happen so that we get control over our local bank accounts? So the first thing, mm-hmm. I'd like to move that we get a breakdown list of personnel costs and that we get back control of our money at local stations.
Summer? I think we have to deal with that as two separate issues.
Summer, I can address the transparency stuff about the payrolls and salaries if you want. I can address the other item.
I can handle the banking question. Go ahead.
Okay. On the transparency item, some level of personnel detail is available in the large Excel version of the budget, which if I printed this out, it would be like 50 pages for each of the budgets, and this book would give us all backaches, so I just gave PDF versions. You did all receive those. In the case of WPFW, Gluzette is right. We were not given salary figures. Some of the stations we are, and that is a deficiency that needs to be corrected. There is in the budget template, the much-discussed budget template, a complete breakdown of all payroll costs, and that is supposed to be made available not to the public, but to the full local station board and the full Pacifica National Board. It isn't because, basically, business managers don't fill it out, and we don't have compliance that way. But I believe that is what we're supposed to do. The Finance Committee has looked at some kind of transparency policy, and actually we have a draft of something, but we never finished it.
Okay, I can take care of this, Lizette. I can mandate that it's included in these things.
What about control of our own money?
You do have control of your own money. We haven't taken any. You still have the exact same bank accounts. They have not been consolidated, even though, as everyone knows, I would prefer to have us having one banking relationship because I believe it would be more cost-effective overall because we could basically leverage that for lower rates on merchant discount fees and credit card processing and things of that nature. But you are still with the same two banks. You still have local signing authority. The CFO was added to your accounts. I'm not on your accounts.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Point of information. So how is it that money was taken out of our restricted funds and we did not know?
I don't know why you did not know, but that was part of the motion that was passed some months ago by this board authorizing me to handle the move to your new facilities as opposed to the plan that had been put forth by the general manager at that time. And those monies were directly attributable to the move that occurred to the Ventana studio location in terms of the build-out, the engineers, the actual equipment that was purchased for that. And it was all directly related to that move and to those funds.
Can you help me then?
Yes, of course.
Would you put that in writing for me to take to my board?
Certainly.
I'm not very good at note-taking.
Okay, no problem, Lizette. Yes, of course. It was directly tied to that motion, though.
Thank you.
Thank you. And that's it has to be related to moving or relocation expenses.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Do you wish to proceed with that other motion? Because I can simply mandate
Which
that.
One?
The one regarding personnel. I can mandate that business managers include that data in the reports that go.
Well, it's on record, so I look forward to it.
Okay, yes, no problem. I'm happy to do that. Okay, Brian.
I propose the amendment that we add a proviso to the budget approval that the WPFW manager provide a progress report after 6 months of the fiscal year, and if the revenue assumptions have not borne out, a revised budget for the
Second
remainder
that.
Of the year.
Okay, thank you. That doesn't seem unreasonable. Is there any objection to that? Okay, I didn't think there would be. Okay, very good. That's passed. Thank you.
Brian.
Tony.
Just quick. First of all, I agree with Lizette about not just the restricted funds. We do, and I'm not going to debate that, but we do not have control of our account. They are taking funds out of our account.
Can you clarify, Tony, because I'm not aware of
what
you mean.
Well, and this is according to the interim general manager also, there was about over 100,000 taken out during the pledge drive. $80,000 that went to pay for general national insurance.
Oh, but that wasn't taken out without their knowledge. That was requested of them in order to cover New York shortfalls, and it's been paid back by New York out of there.
Our treasurer didn't know about it. We didn't know about it.
So. Manager knew about it.
Well, but
okay, thank
she's
you for
unhappy. At our LSB meeting, she's unhappy with it.
Okay. Thank you for bringing that to my attention.
I don't want to get her in trouble, but she, you know. So that's
New York has paid back the vast. That was basically intercompany loan between New York and D.C. because they did not have the funds to cover their health insurance, and it was I want to say it was $113,000, and New York has paid back 80 of that, and still owes them like $31,000 in change right now.
But without losing my time, I just went general and say I don't have a problem without taking money and borrowing it to help the network out, but give us credit and pay it back, and then when we do it. Give us credit for that, because there's a lot, over the past, and I'm not necessarily saying you, but even before you became executive director, there were funds taken out from WPFW, which we didn't know about. We never got credit for that, and they never paid it back.
Thank you.
And then they complain that WPFW is draining on the system.
That's totally legitimate, and I have to say, we've taken a very strong policy. I mean, any money that we do receive from stations, if it's for national, it's booked against their central services, and if it's intercompany, it's kept track of. Nobody's just taking anyone's money.
I'm not ragging on you, Summer, but you will remember the Finance Committee did actually pass before the last set of ED CFO changes about a year and a half ago a motion about getting a quarterly accounting for interstation transfers so that there were records kept that could be consulted when people had questions. We didn't get that from that CFO, and we have not gotten it since from any concurrent CFO, and I'd actually forgotten about it, but now that it's come up, I can't stress enough how much it was a good idea then, it's a good idea now, and we should, like, implement it.
I would be happy to see that that's implemented at the national.
Without losing my time, I want to wrap up.
And then that would really, I think, you know, because it comes up over and over and over again.
Okay, and I have to say, coming into the office, the failure to keep track of intercompany accounts was one of the most egregious thing with which we contended during this last audit process, because it was quite messy. So we will see to it that that's addressed. Go ahead, Tony.
Our 15 minutes are up.
I'm sorry. Tony, finish what you're saying.
Just to wrap up what I'm saying, I think the request in this budget is a very conservative request, given how much we raised over the years. A very conservative request. And everybody knows I supported the last general manager, and we were opposed to what happened to bring in this general manager. But what's done is done, and we're trying to bring it together. I believe in giving the benefit of the doubt to the general, either the interim general manager and even the interim executive director when they come in. Let them do their job and give them the benefit of the doubt, and then when that time is up, then you go after them and kick hell after them. That's what I believe in. So I believe giving her, the new interim general manager, the benefit of the doubt to do what she's trying to do.
Just like
Thank you
did with the prior GM.
Okay, folks, let's try to stay away from personnel discussions. Thank you. Brenda.
We're out of time.
I know we are. Thank you. So, may we go to a vote?
Yes.
Okay, thank you so much. So, this is on approval of the WPFW budget as presented by the National Finance Committee. All those in favor? Is there any opposition to this budget?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. I'm just asking.
It's an amended motion now.
I'm sorry, Brian. Forgive me. First, we'll vote on the amendment, then we'll vote on the budget. The amendment on the floor is that the interim general manager will provide a progress report on revenue.
Passed, so now that's just the main motion is the budget plus the 6 months.
Thank you. We didn't have any objection. That's why I went past it, Brian. I'm sorry. It's the motion, the budget as amended. Thank you. Choice of words, not actual what we're doing. Okay. So we are voting on the WPFW budget as amended, which includes the amendment that there'll be a progress report on the revenue side at 6 months, and if the projections have not been met, that a revised budget will be produced that is in conformity with the actual revenue. All those in favor of passage of this budget as amended, please raise your hands. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. All those opposed? 1. Those abstaining? 1.
2.
2. Are you abstaining? Okay, so 14 yes, 1 no, 3 abstentions. Thank you. All right, folks, we're out of time on the extension. I presume that we are adjourning open session at this point.
With a cause.
Sorry, excuse me. So, members of the public, we'd like to thank you for your time here with us this weekend. It is unlikely that we will have an open session tomorrow, except for briefly for report out, probably because of the...
Bylaws require us to take public comment any day we're meeting in person.
So we will have a half hour of public session, which, what time are we supposed to adjourn? Noon tomorrow?
Yes, noon.
So, okay, then if there's no objection from the board, I will set public session at 11:30.
Public comment?
Public comment, right. Well, that'll be like report out and public comment is what I'm imagining we'll do between 11:30 and 12. Does that seem reasonable to everyone?
Yeah.
Okay, very good. So, members of the public, please forgive me for my previous statement. Public session will be tomorrow at 11:30 a.m. with a half hour public comment and report out from closed session. All right? Thank you all very much for your time here with us.